And welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of Beyond the 18. We are your hosts, Alan, and next to me here is my very good friend and old-time pal, Santiago.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Santi.
It's not Kuno Becker, though.
I wish
so. Santiago!
God damn, I love that movie. One of my favorite movies, bro.
That movie's always going to be in...
You are not a true soccer fan if you have not seen that movie, bro.
The third one was booty, though. We need to be honest.
The third one, it just went completely off script, bro. But, I mean, that's another topic that we should get later on, you know?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... We are here because both of us are big lovers and very passionate about the best sport in the world that exists.
You could say.
And that is football.
And that's
the real football.
Here in the United States, bro, soccer, man, you know. But everybody around the world, around the country, everything, it's football. Come on, man. Beautiful game.
If you go to Europe, bro, I'll say it out of experience. They don't know what soccer is.
Oh, hell no.
You need to call it football. And I learned that when I was in Italy. Like, you say soccer, they don't know what the fuck soccer is.
If you actually do your homework, bro, and you should notice that in all the other languages, it's related to football. Football, you know. The only country that it changes to completely soccer, like, it's nothing related, it's the United States.
The U.S. and Canada, right?
Toronto
has her team and it's Major League Soccer.
And you know what I find it so weird, bro, is that the MLS, you know, it's Major League Soccer, yet you got brand new teams up coming up like LAFC, Inter Miami FC, Football Club.
you know,
their own title in their own league, it's Major League Soccer, yet you got teams promoting Football Club, you know.
So later, it wouldn't be surprising if they changed it to the MLF. Major League Football.
That would be conflicts with the NFL, bro. Come on. Big time conflict.
The National Football League, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, you know, that's the only reason why. And fun fact, I don't know if it's true or not, but they told me nothing related to soccer, football, soccer. But I heard that the reason why they call, you know, football, like hand-egg football, they call it football, is because the football is a foot long. The ball is a foot long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I haven't looked into it. But yeah, you know, that's a fun fact. That's why we went with soccer, but it makes no sense.
That's crazy. But we're here today for the first episode. No specific topic in the set, but we're here because we would like to give our audience a bit of intro and a bit of a background behind ourselves and the connection and love that we have for the sport. I guess like you said yourself, Santiago, a short resume of ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, my question to you would be, since, you know, I'm pretty much just like the co-host, you came to me with this literally a week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, bro, you know what? You also have your other podcast with a very good friend of ours, you know, homegirl back in the day, Improper. Check it out. Recommend it. You came to me and you told me that you wanted to do a podcast with me, and you know, I was excited. And then especially you told me, you know, hey, let's do it about football, you know, soccer, everything, entertain. One thing that I can never get bored of is talking about soccer. My friends know it, my family knows it, and anybody that knows me knows that soccer, I could go on and on. Football, I could go on and on and on, bro.
It's the never endless topic.
So for me, when you came to me with this, I started seeing, like, it's going to be an amazing project that I'm excited to do it with you. Thank you, by the way. And I started coming up, you know, like, our first episode, you told me I want to do an intro. I want to tell our listeners, our viewers, that who we are, what led us to the passion that we have for this sport, what we're going to talk, topics. And I jotted down and I wrote down some questions that I would like to ask you, and vice versa, bro. You could ask me, you know. The intro, I would ask you, like, for our viewers who are tuning in, would like to know, like, who you are. Where do you come from? How did you, like, fall in love with the beautiful game, bro?
Well, I guess the love, my connection with football has to come with my personal family background.
Okay.
And that has to do with being Mexican.
And yeah, man.
In Mexico, that's all there is to talk about in reality. You know, so, football. Football as well. And all I remember is when, just one day, my dad saying, "You're an America fan."
And boom.
And boom. You know, he even bought me my little America football cleats.
A fun fact, my boy here, he had his room, like his previous room back in the day, painted America colors. You know, this, you were talking about all out fan, bro.
Yellow and blue.
Yep.
Yellow and blue. Had my autographed jersey, my picture with Ochoa. A lot of memorabilia of America.
At what age, brother, at what age did you started realizing that you had a passion for this sport that, you know, you had to eat, sleep, breathe it, you know, 24/7?
I think it was the first time I saw a football game on TV. And surprisingly, from what I remember, it wasn't actually an America game. The first game that I saw, and it was an Atlas game. And Atlas will forever be my second favorite Mexican team. The reason being is because they're always the underdog. They've always been the underdog.
A big rival city match.
And they've never been the club to buy big names. And that's, I have a big respect for that. They've always been the club that uses their own academy to build the team.
Right.
And yeah, they're in struggles right now. But eventually they'll turn over, you know.
You saying that, bro. Sorry that I cut you off, but a quick question just came to my mind. You know, you bringing up Atlas. You know, that was like the first team that you saw with the Cantera. Would you say that Rafael Márquez is one of like the best Mexicans to come out of the Mexican league, bro?
Rafael Márquez, in my point of view, is the best Mexican player in the history of Mexican players, period.
I would agree with that. I would 100% agree with that. And, you know, let's see what our viewers say.
He's the only one to win a Champions League.
Facts.
He's the only one to win the Liga.
And you got also,
he was with Barcelona when they won the 6 titles in 1 year.
I mean, this guy has played with one of the most elite squads.
By far, I think. It's very hard for me to say, but it's either that Barca squad or the Bayern Munich squad. For me to say that one of those two are the best squads in all of football history.
Oh, yeah. And
it's very hard for me to say which one, but I can say that he is the best for those reasons. He was part of one of the two best squads that the world has ever known.
Imagine, he started playing side by, you know, Carlos Puyol, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of like the greatest, if not the greatest, a Barcelona captain has seen. You know, and no one's going to mention to me what, like, other than Ramos, I would say, best center backs that you could have in your squad.
Rafael Márquez?
Yeah, of course. And alongside, he played with Puyol, bro. Come on, like, you can't discard that. I mean, who else could say that? You know,
that's a privilege to say that you've played with certain players, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it looks like I took you off topic. But, you know, you were saying about, you know, Atlas.
That was my first game I saw on a TV. And back when TVs had a TV behind it. A box.
Box, hell, you know? Yeah. The good old days, bro.
The kids nowadays don't know what those are, but I know, dinosaurs. Right? But when I saw the excitement that football brought out of people, and it's like you're a person before the whistle blows, and once the whistle blows, you become a different entity.
Amen, bro.
And
100%
for 90 minutes, it's just you and the sport. Nothing else around you exists. And so when I saw that, I was like damn, this is a great feeling, you know? Like, what, up to that point in my life, nothing else gave me that passion. I could say cars, but I became familiar with cars after football.
But you never did answer what age was it, bro?
And so when I saw this game, I was around 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
4 or 5.
Wow.
You know, and we didn't have the best of upcomings, so we would watch the games in unity, you know, and family and everything, and that's what we did. And after that, I got in a soccer football team. I always want to say soccer, but
football team. I mean, I think we could use both. Because I mean,
football, soccer.
Yeah.
And it's just the moment I touched the ball, bro. You know, as it was. I know a lot. It's not, you could say this when you meet a woman, but it's a different experience when you say love at first sight when it comes to football.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, because I've always called the sport unreliable. You know, it's something that will never leave your side.
Oh yeah.
And even though as many times the football can be so unfair.
Many times.
It's always there for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
And so that's when I started playing, you know, and that's how I became.
So you started playing at the age of 5.
Yeah, I was a very young kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder you have a lot of experience
in this. And it was, honestly, it was like, I didn't have much of any other choice because where I grew up, it was in the worst side of Santa Ana. You know, it was either gangs or sports in school. So soccer was like my gateway. It was somewhat of my savior, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, the only sad thing about this is that we couldn't make it to the pros.
I feel like a lot of us could have, bro. But for me, my biggest issue was my physique. And it kept me... In high school, I was a bit bigger. And it kept me... It didn't give me, like, the confidence in me being with that kind of squad. Especially with the reputation that Saddleback High School had when we were there. I didn't feel like I was at the level that these dudes are playing.
Oh, yeah.
But now that I look, what, we graduated in 2012, we're 2021, almost 10 years later, I look back and I'm like, fuck, like.
You changed a lot.
I was way better than many, than I could have competed. I'll make it like that. But maybe I wasn't way better, but I could have competed with.
You know, maybe you're talking about your physique. Yeah, I met you, what, sixth grade, seventh grade?
Actually, we've known each other since elementary.
Elementary, but we weren't, like, really cool.
We weren't close.
Yeah.
Because I remember how you guys used to call me, like, white boy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bullies, motherfuckers. Yeah,
and the few times I tried to play, like, no, you can't play with us because you're white.
Racist, I swear, bro.
And I was like, damn. And so I couldn't play, like, yeah. You know? And then...
You're right, though. Your physique. But, I mean, one thing that I saw, well, that I could remember, I could go back to, like, 6th, 7th grade, you know, your old man joining us all together, creating a team, which we were really a strong team, even though we could have never, ever... We were like Cruz Azul, bro. Yeah. We would get to finals and always choke. You know, but you did not have the physique, and what I liked about your pops was that, you know... He wouldn't just be, oh, that's my son, I'm not giving him playing time. He saw that you weren't keeping up, you know, with the speed, the pace, the game. He would bench you, would tell you, you need to work. And maybe that's what changed you.
And that's, I think, that I have football. 70% of the person that I am today, bro, I can say thank you to football. Because football is way more than a sport. It's a teacher, in a way.
It's a way of life.
You know, with football, I learned leadership. I learned responsibility. I learned a mental strength. It gave me hard skin. And it made me realize that, most importantly, that even in that you may fall many times, but those failures are what make you come back better.
You speak nothing but truth, brother.
You know? And yeah, like you said, my old man, he's been the only coach I've known. The only coach I've had, and only other than him, I've only had like one other coach. But, and he never, when Sundays came, for those 2 hours, I wasn't his son.
Yeah,
I was another kid of the squad.
Yep, I could vouch for that.
He didn't give no hex if I was his son. But if I had a bad game,
and I would see you get frustrated too. Yeah, we would see you that you would get frustrated. You know?
And he's like, all right, you're out. I was like, damn.
Yeah. I remember I have a memory of us playing at Fitz Falcon Park, bro. It was an early morning game and you were just not having it. You know, he put you at defense, but you would like to go up a lot because, you know, you had that ball touch and everything, but you were just having such an awful game. You know, your passes were not on point, your vision, like your head was not in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him, like the coach taking you out, your old man. And, you know, and you getting mad, you know, like, you just got mad and you threw it. And he's all, like, he, like, literally, like, shut your ass down, you know. Then I was like, oh, damn. You know, he's all like, hey, your gate, your head is not in the game. You're going to cost us the match and everything. So, you know, hats off to your dad, bro. Like,
yeah, man.
Hats off to your pops. But anyways, you fell in love with the game at four. Started playing it at five. You didn't have the physique. You struggled with that. But I could guarantee you that you had the heart. Now my question is, who or what made you fall in love with the game, bro? Like, okay, specific so player, like, specific person in your life, a specific, like, crest. You know, some people just see. I have a friend of mine, bro, Turtle, a.k.a. Esteban.
Turtle's his first name? Is that your name?
Yeah. Well, everybody knows him, Turtle, bro. This guy, man, when he talks, he has no team, you know. He just, like, doesn't really, like, care for soccer. He just likes going for the beers and having a good time, you know, the vibe. But he represents one team, Hanover 96, bro.
Yeah.
And he says that he likes it because it was, like, he just turned it on and that team was playing and he liked the name Hanover 96. I'm uh-huh. like, why? Because it's a backwards 69? You sick bastard. You know, but, okay, so you, what was it? You know, was it a player, a specific pattern, like a nice crest? The vibe that the team just gives off, you know, what made you fall in love with football, bro?
If I could, that's a very tough question. That's a very tough question.
Bingo. There you go. Know,
because as kids, we used to say, oh, this player, this player, this player, this player. And we didn't really know who in the end was that one player, you know, but for me, necessarily, I don't think it was really a player, but a squad. And that's the it might sound cliche, whatever. Because growing up, I didn't know European soccer. All I knew was Mexican league.
Same, bro.
That was it. Because that's all we were. Yeah. That was put in our head.
Yes, sir.
And so it was not because I'm a fan of them, but it was America. You know, America has always been known as a team that was, that's what they call Mazules Cremas for a reason.
Yeah.
Because the way of playing, like, maybe not today as much, but once upon a time when they had the squad with, like, El Bam Bam Zamorano, Luis Hernandez, Cristian Patiño, Cuauhtémoc Blanco, Adolfo Rios in the key,
Piojo Claudio López, bro.
You know,
the Brazilian Clever, bro.
Clever.
Reynaldo Navia, man. You could go on and on the list, bro. Yes. That when we started, because before that, you know, there was way more other, but like our generation,
and,
you know.
And the way they play, bro, and I was like, whoa, like that. It's like if you're seeing an orchestra play.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
One symphony.
Perfect
together.
Symphony.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it, I was like, damn, I would like to play like that. But beyond the squad, if I had to say a player within that squad, and what made me fall in love...
Don't say Cuauhtémoc, bro. Don't be a beaner, bro.
Cuauhtémoc Blanco, bro.
Man, that guy could have made... He could have been big in Europe, bro. But that damn knee injury that always gets...
But the one time that he had to make it count in Europe, he made it count with that amazing goal he made on Real Madrid.
Real Madrid still remembers that, bro. In their fan page and everything. They still remember that.
That's one of the most beautiful free kicks I've ever seen in my life.
Most hated yet loved player...
In the history,
yeah.
In the history of Mexican soccer.
So a fan of Cuauhtémoc Blanco, bro. You know, he's the one that, you know, made you, and I could tell because in your form of playing, I could vouch that your legs, your feet are educated when you have a cool mind, and you know you could set a nice ball. You know, you see someone running down the wing or anything, or you see them doing like cuts or anything, getting in between defenders. You could put him a ball there. Did he influence you?
Yes, bro.
Like, he influenced your game.
For me, that my main priority was, back then, has always been my touch.
You do have a nice
touch. And so for me, it's like, not because I want to make myself sound great or anything. I'm no one to say that, you know? But I got to the point where I knew players, I know, like when I play with friends or whatever, with pickups or whether that be, when I used to play Sunday, we can't play Sunday league right now because of COVID, but I knew where my players were going to be before I even got the ball. And all I had to do was just make sure the ball came to me, and all I had to do was touch it. And by then, when I lifted my head, I knew the ball. I knew who was going to get the ball and where it was going to go and everything. That's how, and that's thanks to him. And even to my free kicks or whatever, PKs, for with him, it was precision. And for me, it's like, as long as I get it in a certain spot, I know the ball will do the rest.
I mean, he's one hell of a player. And you yourself, bro, you know, not just because you're my boy or anything, but, you know, you could play. You have heart, bro. You have your air moments, bro, where you just blast the ball. You, like, do some sick-ass juke moves or whatever, and then you're one-on-one with the keeper. You just, like, over the crossbar. I'm like, damn it, Alex.
That goes to show that I was never meant to be a striker, bro. I was never meant to be a striker.
God, we want to go play without you this Sunday, right? And I swear, bro, that I had so many one-on-one opportunities, and I would either hit the bar or it would go, like, just wide off. And this is what our boy Jose told me. He's like, damn, we sure don't miss Allen for sure.
He's here.
So he's like, damn. I'm like, hey, so that way you don't miss him.
Yeah, bro.
But that's good to hear. I mean, I know our listeners are going to somewhat connect with that, especially Mexicans, you know, Latinos who watch the, you know, the great Cuau, because he was someone that could really play the game, bro. And he had heart for the game. And his character, the most hated player, bro. This guy didn't give a crap. He knew he was good. And he liked showing it, you know. He liked shutting up people's mouths, you know. This would take a challenge, you know. And I like that. So, going back to, you know, your brief, who you are and where you come from. Let's say, share something about your experience of playing the game. Like, you know, you already told us that you started playing at 5, correct? But you already told us that Cuauhtémoc influenced you. So, position-wise, you always say to me that you like playing on the wings, but I always see you much more like a sick, like, center attacking mid, which Cuauhtémoc played, or a nice center mid. Mm-hmm. You know, so your most experience within a game that you were playing in a match, you know, that you could share with us that impacted you, like, and you're like, this is my position. This is where I want to play. You know, I want to dominate this position. Mm-hmm. What was it? You know, what age?
You know, what game? If you remember correctly, when we used to play for the squad with my dad, and that was Deportivo Michoacán at the time.
Hell yeah, Deportivo Michoacán all the way, bro.
It's funny that I want to not to change the subject, but that team, bro, was so magisterial in a way.
It was a beautiful team.
First of all, it was nothing but friends. We already knew each other. We were always a little team that always could.
I remember they would laugh at us, bro. Before matches, they would laugh at us. So,
when we first started in the league, which was the OYSL,
Orange.
The Orange Youth Soccer League, we started in the U14s, and then U16s, and then finally U18s. And even then, we went into an adult
Sunday. Yeah, I remember.
Every season, bro, the first half, it'd be bad for us.
Your dad would get mad. Our coach would get fucked.
But then the second season, bro, we always win every game, but there was two teams we never beat. And that was Olympic and Real Brazil.
Yep. I hate Olympic.
The most we were able to do with Real Brazil was tie. And I remember the coach giving us props of that team. And I remember his words. The words he said were, "We'll see you guys in the finals." We never got to play him in the finals because we would always get kicked out in the first round by Corinthians.
No, I would hate that, bro. I would hate that. You know, that's one thing that, I mean, playing with all you and my mates and everything, like, I wish I could say. I mean, we've won runner-ups, you know, third places.
But never the...
Never, you know, Cruz Azul, bro.
I've always been a bit sad that I've never won a first place with a soccer team ever.
You're one of those? I'm one of those, mate. It sucks,
bro. You know, because it's
you love the game, and yet you can't say I'm good enough.
And about two years ago, I was playing with Jeebus in a team. Never in my life had I ever wanted to win a championship with the team as much as I did with that one, bro. And with the squad we had, I was like, there's no way we cannot. Like, there's no way. We're for sure. We went in perfect. Semifinals, we can lose like 8-1.
Shit.
Against a team that we murdered during regular season. And that's where it comes to where the sport can break your heart.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I mean, I've never gotten to a point where I have cried, you know, because of it. But, I mean, you do get emotional, bro. You know, you get some frustrations. Like, tears haven't rolled down, but I've held them back in, bro. Like, you know, because it's like, whether you're playing or you're supporting, you're like, you're so close to clinch something beautiful.
I've cried multiple times, bro, with football. Many, many times. That was one of the games where I held my tears back. Because I tell you, I was never as hungry as I was that season, ever. And like my dad has said, si me apreté un huevo, to not cry.
It's.
But besides that, the other times I've cried was when Real Madrid won La Décima.
Oh, Ancelotti, bro. I don't like how the way they let him go and everything, but
they kind of backstabbed him.
Yeah,
and the way they let him
pretty much big teams do that, but you know, that's something that we have a bunch to discuss, bro, in this channel, you know.
And the second time I cried was when Mexico lost to Holland in the round of 16. Because honestly, that I think was the World Cup in 2010,
bro. South Africa.
When Mexico... Was it
2014? Brazil, you're right. Brazil, yeah.
When Mexico had the best chance to actually go all the way to the final.
Chicharios, bro. They had Chicharios in the squad.
Man. I really think that's with that squad, Mexico had the opportunity to go all the way to the final, bro. With the way they played the round of 32 and the way they're playing with Holland. And once I saw that penalty be marked, my ears got watery, bro.
Yeah.
I just started crying.
It was a rough. It was rough, bro. I remember. I never root for Mexico, bro. Because, I mean, I'm Central American.
It's right? Against my religion.
It's against our fucking religion, bro. You know, I'm from Guatemala, you know. So, you know, I was never, ever like... But it's heartbreaking, bro. Because, I mean, I feel like La Selección Mexicana owes so much, bro, to their fan base. 100%, you know. And they produce good players that are there, and yet I could say they're like another Deportivo Michoacán, bro.
Yeah.
So close yet so far.
They always get there, but then.
So you would say your memory experience that you could share playing or watching would be those two, you know, where you just said playing, you know, what your old man gave to you as a coaching, as you playing, you know, you watching, you shared the Décima, you shared the Mexico, things that impacted you. Yeah,
and then you asked. How did I get with my position, right?
Yeah, exactly. And
so it's funny because if you remember when we had that squad as kids, I was always a center back.
You would, and I would see you more like a contención.
I was center back, but I like defensive mid. And what? But then one day, what made me change to that position was one day in the Sunday League. Our attack wasn't doing much. And this was with my dad. This was with none of our friends anymore. It's just another Sunday team. And I told my dad, hey, do this and put me on the wing on the left. And I just fell in love with that position, bro. I fell in love with the
wing
fact.
Left.
Yeah, wing left. And then I started playing wing right, wing left. I'd switch. And
that's what happens when you have both educated feet, bro.
And I fell in love with the fact that I could run freely the wings back and forth, but that you had a higher chance of becoming part of the play to score. Because I always see like most of the big plays, a lot of big plays starting on the side.
Oh yeah.
And then cutting in or whatever, or starting in the in and then opening out.
In today's game, bro. The most influential players in the pitch would be your fullbacks, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the way I see it, bro. Yeah. You know, your left back and your right back, man. If they're a great defending, but they could go up and attack, like you said, you know, your counter attacks start from the wings, bro. You know, That's where everything runs. Playing a fullback, to me, it's one of the most influential positions on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have, you know, your wingers, attacking wingers that, you know, could, you give them more space to run in and cut in, you know, open more position, more space for you. But yeah, you know, wings.
Yeah, but that's
a hard position.
That's why I got into that position. It was just one day we were losing really bad, like 3-1, and I got frustrated. Like, these dudes cannot finish plays, or they can't run the wings. And I said, screw it. Like, I'm going. And we ended up tying the game 3-3. And I gave 2 assists to make the 2 tying goals. And that's when I was like, all right, this is my position.
You're in love with it.
This is my position. And I walked out and I told my dad, yo, you guys need to find a new center back.
Soto, where's Soto? Where's Soto, you know, at?
And so that's how I got in love with that position.
So nice to know, a winger. I always saw you, I mean, as an attacking midfielder because of your vision, but, you know, we talked now about the host, you know, the main man, Alan. You know, great background that you come, how you love this sport, how you fell in love with it, you know, your passion for it, and you know, later on we're gonna get into details of what teams we support, you know.
Well, you tell me, bro. I'm asking you the same questions.
Go for it.
Like how was the sport of football born out of you? How did you fall in love with it, or what?
This is a great story, bro. In my family, bro, I grew up, no one had influence on me in soccer, bro. Well, you know, I grew up without a dad, so I didn't have dad. My mom was always busy, you know, working, everything, and she never really truly had a liking for the sport, bro. Mm-hmm. So I could say the closest thing that I had a support of the sport, yet I feel like in a way I was teaching it my brother, you know, my brother liked it, but I fell in love with the sport with one simple like team, bro. And it was back in 2001. And it was the Selección de Brasil, bro.
Brazil.
I didn't know nothing. Like, I don't consider myself like a good player or nothing, but I have heart and I love the game. And I come into football, bro. I knew that Brazil was there. I didn't know existed that other selecciones. I didn't even know that a World Cup existed, bro. 2001, I think I was like first grade. I was like 7, bro. 7, you know, like 6, 7, you know.
Yeah, well, you were born 93?
Yes, sir, 93.
Yeah, so you were 8.
Okay, so I had no existence, you know, like I didn't start playing soccer like at 4 or 5, bro. I just knew what to kick the ball was, and that's it. Like, I would kick it, they would, like, punta, bro.
Without direction, just kick it. Just kick it.
Un puntazo, you get me? But I see the phenomenal, bro, Ronaldo, man.
The phenomenal.
Man, I see it. Like, I remember just going through the channels, and Univision back in the day would play, you know, like, a lot of, like
the World Cup, the big tournaments.
República Deportiva, bro. I just turned that shit on one day, bro, and I saw that, and I saw Ronaldo, bro, with that haircut, man. That haircut. You know, boom, has that. So, I see that, I'm all like, hey, you know, I see him, you know, joga bonito, bro.
That's where he was born.
And I fall in love with it, and I mean, nobody taught me, bro, you know. Basically, when in my young era, you know, like, I fell in love with it. I'm like, this is a beautiful sport, bro. This is amazing, and I want to try it. I want to play it. Later on, I find out my cousin Ulises, who you met, to me, he's like one of the best that my family has known, bro. This guy was like sick, and I start hanging out with him more, and he influenced me more on playing soccer, the meaning of that. But I would say that I fell in love by watching Brazil and Ronaldo, bro. Just turning on the TV, going to República Deportiva. Like, I swear, that was beautiful. I click on it. Since then, I've been a Brazil fan, bro. You know, and they were saying back in the day that Guatemala was part of Brazil, bro. So, you never know.
Dude, I'll tell you what, bro. Guatemala has... you guys had one of... He wasn't...
The fish, bro.
El pescadito, bro.
The fish.
And the reason why I feel like he wasn't... Because he was Guatemalan. Like, the Guatemala never has had the big history
never.
So, and that also can hurt a player in many ways.
True.
So I feel like he would have gone way farther with the sport, but because he was Guatemalan, you know. And that's no shitting on the country, bro.
One thing, let's get it clear now for the folks, you know. We may like trash talk, you know, a national team, but we have nothing against the country. You get me?
Yeah.
I admit it, bro. I'm one of the first to say our soccer, like our football, like federation,
yeah,
is one of the worst, you know, most trash, like, you know, like shittiest league, and we're talking league wise and, you know,
national squad
levels, you know. And I understand that and I get that. And the point is that I would say it's just lack of corruption, money, and they don't, you know, they don't focus too much on that, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so let, you know, that's why I say, you know, one country I would like to visit is Brazil, because the memory I have, bro, that influenced me, Ronaldo. And then, you know, it just made me fall in love with it, bro, with the game, the beautiful game. Mm-hmm. Never had a position, though. Like, I tried striker, I tried this. Your dad gave me a position. Your dad's like, you know what? You're going to play center back. You're going to defend.
Honestly, bro, and I got to say, you from when you first started, when we first started playing together, you come a long way with your play. Because I remember you're one of the two or three players in the squad that would frustrate me.
Yeah.
From, like, how lost you'd be in the game, not knowing what to do. Like, all I remember is that, like, the first season, all I remember is, like, me yelling at you.
Yep.
Because I would get frustrated, like, damn, like, this kid can't even kick the ball out of our third, for God's sakes.
I swear, bro, I struggled. And one, you're, you know, our coach, bro, we still see him to this day. You know, he's not our coach no more, you know, Don Lalo, bro. We mm-hmm. We come to your house and it's always coach, you know. Every who plays with us, you know, is coach, bro. You know, he impacted my game. He told me, you know what, you're gonna play defense. This is how you're gonna do it. This is how you do it, you know. This, and it influenced you a lot. Since then, bro, I would say your dad pretty much made me, in a way, like the soccer player that I am, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one memory, you know, that I'll always have.
You know, it's crazy because I like to bring that up because a lot of people that we grew up playing with, they always say that my dad's had a big influence in their game.
Oh, man. It's anybody who knows your pops, bro.
And the funniest thing about my old man, bro, is that he wasn't even a good player.
You were telling me. I didn't even know that.
I kid you not. He was booty. He was bad.
So it is true what they say, those who can't play coach. Hey, so is that why you're like, you're becoming a good coach or what, bro? I told you last time we were just training, having a good workout.
Yeah, but
what's going on there, sir?
Yeah, but he's been a big influence in a lot of people's game, bro. And it's crazy to see. And even then, like, teams that I know that play, they'd be like, hey, your dad's still coach because we could use some help.
I bet you he's long retired now. Huh?
He doesn't want to deal with that no more, bro. He's like, nah.
I remember we would get frustrated. He would show up to practice, off work, tired and everything. We would just be like messing around. He would just get mad. So like, I'm going to just take off. We're like, nah, you know, we'll get serious. Yeah, but another question you have for me, bro?
Yeah. I lost my spot here. 1 second. Okay, your best memory of the game.
Okay, this one, I love this one, bro. I love this question because my best memory of the game is in 2002. And it was the World Cup, bro. And it was played in Japan, Korea. And the games were like at 2, 3 in the morning, bro. You know, that's the time that the game were playing. And I remember 2001, I get introduced to soccer just watching pure international, no Mexican level yet, no nothing, just international. And I was a big Brazil fan. And my brother Eric, could back up the story because we put an alarm, bro. The final, Germany-Brazil, it was at 3 a.m. And we set an alarm, bro. And we put that game on and we were watching it. And I was so happy, bro.
That's like, one of the most beautiful games I ever played.
Man, Ronaldo doing his thing, bro. You had Cafu, man. You had Dida, bro. Roberto, man, you had Ronaldinho, man. You know, and I just remember that. That's my best memory. Waking up with Adriano. my brother, bro. That's the beauty of it. With my brother, we wake up, watch this game. I got so excited. I was like, hell yeah, Brazil and everything, you know. And that's my best memory, that I woke up and I lived that for the first time, because that was like the first final I've seen, bro. Like, to be honest, that's the very first final, competition final, you know, and I was just like 8, bro, 9, and I lived it, and I'm like, that was amazing. You know, Ronaldo, mm-hmm. those 2 goals, lifting their 5th world championship, you know, that's the best memory of the game that I've had, bro. And so I win a championship of my own outside. But yeah, bro, that's a beautiful memory.
You know, one of the saddest soccer stories behind that squad is the story of Adriano.
Don't even talk about him, bro.
Such an amazing player, and where he ended up.
I hear that he had anger problems and you know, aggressiveness, and obviously, you know, that's the thing with Brazilians, bro. That they are not they're not disciplined, bro. They love the rumba, they love, you know, the partying, the drinking, the women, you know, they love that.
It's part of their culture. It runs in their blood.
And, you know, and it sucks because I feel like that was like the decline of the last
like, great
Brazil squad. But what I would say was 2006, bro. 2006, 2007 was like the you know, other than that, the new generation that comes, great players, not going to take that away from them. But you do not see that love that, you know, man, you had the Joga Bonito, bro, you know. Before that, Pelé with the I forget the style that he used to play, you get me? But
I like that you bring up 2006, bro. One of my favorite games of all time, even God gives me that much life. But if I get to like 90, I will always remember, I think it was the quarterfinal of 2006.
France-Brazil. I was so hurt, bro. I was so hurt as a Brazilian fan.
What Zizou did to that squad.
God, man. Zizou.
I have never seen one player single-handedly destroy a squad on his own.
He did that. He destroyed. We were talking about the fucking squad that, like, you know, won that 2002.
They were supposed to win.
They were supposed to win that one, bro. But I'm telling you, it was a heartbreak because I never saw Ronaldo get frustrated. Ronaldinho shut, bro. You know, our defense was just like not having it. And you just, one name that stands out, Zidane, bro. Zidane. He literally completely manhandled. And it was... For me, it was sad, bro. I was after mad. That, I was frustrated.
After that, it was hard. Brazil never recuperated.
Pretty much, no, bro. Like, but like I said, they're so on. Like, they're not disciplined, bro. They love that
the outside life.
The outside life too much. They feel like because it runs in their blood. You know, Brazil has established itself as the dominant force. You know, that ever they. Creating players and, you know, winning championships and the style of changing the game.
History and everything behind
so it. I feel like the new generation takes it in as, like, I'm already born with that. You know, it's I have that. So they work hard to get there. Once they're there, bro, they're like, ah, it's me. It's my, I'm privileged, you know, and they lose focus on what it truly is, which is, you know, bringing a nation to its feet, bro, bringing fans, bro. That joy of winning another championship. I don't see Brazil winning another championship for a while, bro. Look what happened to them in their backyard.
I think in their own backyard, that was proven with what Germany did to them.
7-1, bro. That's like, I like, literally, I laughed.
And
bro.
That World Cup,
I laughed.
That Brazil squad gave everyone a bit of hope, right? With how they were playing up to that game.
And it all, the Neymar scene, bro. He gets injured, he's out, like, that's what gets you mad when you rely too much on one player, bro. And,
yeah.
You know, you make that, like, your base, and then he gets injured. Like, that was no excuse, bro. You have your nation. You're playing in your backyard. You know, everybody's rooting for you. You just come from making a sick Confederations campaign, bro. Confederations. You get there. You beat Spain.
They won it, right?
Yeah, they beat Spain, bro. Played beautifully. So everybody's like, heck yeah, you know, football is where it belongs, beauty. You got Rio de Janeiro, you got bikinis, you got women, you know, you got the life.
And was that soccer. Was that game in El Maracaná?
No.
Remind me. The final was.
Was it? Let me look this up real quick, right? We need to do more homework. But I don't, I think, did they fix it up?
In what way?
Like, they had to, because I heard that it was not good to be played at and all that stuff.
The Maracana?
So, yeah, so.
I know that. I know they had the final there. For sure they had the final in the Maracana.
Oh, they did, bro. You're right. They did.
The game was in the Maracana, right?
Yeah, because you're right. Because then the Maracana, so they even, it was worse than the Maracana against Uruguay when they lost. Uruguay was the first you know, team, the selección to win the World Cup.
And the World
it was,
title.
And it was in the Maracana too, right? The 1-0. So yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But I mean, I hate you because we were saying that we were going to start my best memory, bro. You bring me back to like...
I brought it from the best to the worst.
To the worst, man. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
It's my house.
Fuck,
but,
man.
Yeah, that was... I know we said we wouldn't talk about specific... This would be about us, but... We can give a bit
a preview
as to what this podcast will have. And my question is, who is your favorite player of all time?
Of all time, bro. Of all time. My favorite player is Ronaldinho Gaucho, bro.
Why?
Oh, man, why?
Why not?
Nah, man, like, my favorite player, and I was just having this debate, like, not so long ago with my cousin, bro, with, he was talking about Ronaldo the Phenomenal, right, you know, the Brazilian Ronaldo, and he's saying that, you know, he did much more for the game and everything, but it's facts, what he said is facts, bro, but I stay with the one thing that I'll always carry is, we're never gonna experience another player like Ronaldinho ever. You could try to imitate him. A player could try to be as close to him. But you will never, ever... We're never going to see a Ronaldinho, bro. Just like... We're never going to see a Cristiano Ronaldo. We're never going to see another Messi. Not because of...
That's why I don't like the discussion of Messi, Ronaldo. For me, it's like, just enjoy them.
Because I mean, it's fun, bro. You got to admit, it's fun going at it. I mean, don't you... I love, bro, going like up against a Ronaldo fanboy, bro. Even though I'm not a Messi fan.
I don't like the fanboy debate.
First, I love it.
I don't like to get into the debate because, first of all, they're different positions. And they're both driven by different things.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
It's like, you look at Ronaldo, he has to somehow always be the topic. Or has to be part of the topic.
But because my man works for it, bro.
Yeah. And his hard work did get him there.
He loves that.
And Messi, bro, it's just God-gifted.
Yeah. And now, like, you know, this is something for later on, and you know, our viewers are going to agree with this. I'm a Barcelona fan, bro. Hard Barcelona. And the reason why I'm a Barcelona fan, bro, 2004, Ronaldinho, bro. He leaves PSG, signs with, in 2003, signs with Barcelona. Richard Carr, bro, creates a sick team. Puts in Ronaldinho. This is what I'm saying, you'll never see.
Marquez played with Ronaldinho.
Yeah, bro. And you know, the best thing is that you're never going to see another player like that, but I just lost my train. Wait, what were we talking about? The topic?
Your favorite player of all time.
Yeah, okay, but we were talking about Cristiano
and Messi.
And Messi, right? They didn't change the game. Like, they just came and improved it. You get me? Like, they didn't come and change the game. That's why, for me, I'm never going to say that Ronaldo and Messi are going to be the greatest because they are, but in my point of view, no. They just pretty much came and broke records. That's it, bro. They just came, they played their game, they never like were influential to the game like Ronaldinho, brother. Ronaldinho, man, that guy could wow you. Every game, and I would see most of them, like, he has something new for you. And you can say, he's not going to top that. And then he comes and tops off what he did last week, making it look like it was just like a scrimmage, bro. Una cascarita. You know, and he was never disciplined, dedicated, or anything like Cristiano is. He he was always that one player that, oh, I like the vibe, I like the party life and all this, but he was like a messy natural born talent that he just had, bro. And but what this guy could do with the ball, man, like, he had kids dreaming of doing that, bro. Pretty much Ronaldinho, when you talk about Joga Bonito, yeah, you have Adriano, you have Roberto Carlos, you have freaking Cafu, you have Ronaldo, bro, Kaká, you got all Ed Milson, bro, you got all those, Joga Bonito. But the person, for me, Joga Bonito represents, bro.
He's his own circle.
Ronaldinho, mate.
You remember that goal he made in the Champions League when he had, I forgot who he made the goal on, but he was outside the 18. I think it was on Chelsea.
Yeah, it was on Chelsea. He doesn't even take a step back or anything,
He's like, oh, well, whatever. Like one of those, like, fuck it moments, right? All he did was hit it with the point.
That's him, and
you
bro.
Just see the ball hit the side post and in. And I was like, wow. Wow. It's like, that's all you could really say. Like,
that's Ronaldinho Gaucho, bro. To me, my favorite player, bro, like, of all time, man. You know, forget Messi, forget Ronaldo, bro. Forget Pelé, Zidane. Forget Ronaldo, the phenomenal, bro. The Balak, bro.
Chicharitos.
Oh, hell yeah, Chicharitos. Name another player, bro. Name another player that could assist and score. He assists himself and he scored, bro. Name another player that could do that. Not even the great Ronaldinho, bro. This one assisted himself and scored the goal. And he celebrates like he's the god, bro. Like he's the god. Oh, man. Chicha Dios, bro. We need to have like a specific episode just talking about him, bro. Need to do some research on him and just talk about, because, I mean, this guy could have had everything. Máximo goleador de tu selección, you know, Mexico. Yeah. 50 with 50 plus goals, I think. And yet now he's like in a down, like,
I hate the fact how he got to be the highest goal scorer of the Mexican squad. Because
I say Ferguson played a lot in him, bro.
He did.
Ferguson
called him his little jewel. He called him his little jewel. But for me, it was like
the worst thing, bro.
We need to be honest. He was. I don't know about now. I haven't seen him play, but he was a pickpocketer. He was there in the right moments.
Okay. I've watched a lot of European football, bro, and he was a cherry pick, but he had his moments with Manchester United, bro.
Moments of magic.
Exactly, which is like, people now, they think of Chicharito, you know, people who don't really get into like soccer, they think about Chicharito, like what a joke, you know, lucky ass goals and everything. Yeah. But you talk to a die-hard, you know, Red Devils fan, bro, and they would tell you, man, Chicharito gave us some special moments. In my point of view, bro, and you could go on and debate a lot, is, you know, is that the worst thing that I think could have happened to Chicharito was Alex Ferguson retiring, because Alex Ferguson goes, scouts him,
even
gets him from Chivas.
Because even in Madrid he had some magic moments, right?
But they're never gonna play Madrid in Mexico. I don't know why they hate Mexicans, bro. Like, they don't give them playing time. Look at how...
The only one that really did was Hugo Sanchez, right?
And Rafa Márquez, bro.
With Madrid.
Oh, yeah, and they still hated him. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
That they would call him Indio or whatever. You know, like, they were chanting, five Pichichis, bro. God damn.
Five Pichichis.
Never won a Champions League with Madrid, but I mean, back-to-back La Ligas, Copa del Rey, you know, five-time Pichichis, bro. Like, you know, that's a complete player. Thing doesn't have is the Champions League. Sucks, but there's only Rafael Márquez that could do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we should definitely have a episode.
Chicharitos.
Not to make fun of him, because he's good. He's good to get some laughs out of, bro.
All right, so back to the greatest player.
Ronaldinho, bro. Ronaldinho. Fact, yours. Who would you go for?
For me, bro. And...
Chafa Navarrete.
Bueno, Recio. You know, his family or my neighbors in Mexico, too.
No way, really?
Yeah.
No, what are you so cagoli? Just kidding, bro.
They own a little store next to my house out in Mexico. But for my favorite player of all time, I don't know if you know about him. When I bring him up to a lot of people, they're like, who's that?
Go for it. Try me.
Guti Hernandez.
Oh, man. How about the great Guti, bro?
What? Underdog. Underrated.
We're getting the right Guti, right?
He played with the
Galacticos. Right? Yeah, the blonde guy, right? Sick ass midfielder, right? Hell yeah, bro. Guti, yeah.
I mean, most underrated of all time, I think, bro.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Guti. He was too unselfish. To the point where people would not like him of how unselfish he was.
There's a video, bro. I think it's him.
The back heel.
Yeah, the way he sees Benzema, bro. There's a video and
yes,
and that it's like he has a. I mean, this guy has it to go. He takes on defender, makes a good run.
It's him and the 18, keeper,
and he just sees Benzema. Like how the hell? Like he read the point play. Is,
he didn't even look back. Back.
He just like something told him. All right, right there, touch it, bro. And Benzema. Finishes. Beautiful. I mean, yeah. Cagala, wey.
And that's my favorite player of all time, bro.
Nice.
Guti Hernandez, nice. Bro.
Like you said, unexpected, bro. I wouldn't know. I thought...
His passes, when he would put balls in places where you never thought they were possible to put...
Just kidding. Just kidding.
You never thought it'd be possible to put a ball in the place where he put them, the way he put them. I'm like... My gosh, like, how is this, like, possible?
True.
How?
Guti, yeah, man. Hell yeah. You're right.
He's my favorite of all time, bro.
That's a pretty good pick.
Of all time.
That's a pretty good pick.
I'm sure many people will be mad at that, me choosing someone like that, you know, but...
Why would they?
He also had
a true fan...
Picks the one that's not accustomed, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's great players, so we could go on and on the list of our generation, bro. Of our generation, you know, Titi Henry, bro.
Yeah,
another great French player, bro.
Landon Donovan.
Imagine coming out of retirement. I'm gonna go play with Leon. Didn't even do shit, bro. Make it a big deal. Like,
that was to make some tickets, bro.
Yeah, I know, right? Landon Donovan. Now, I would talking about okay. Our nation, guys, say our nation. I live here, you know, was raised here, and you know, USA, bro. To me, Clint Dempsey, Clint Dempsey, it would be far better than Landon Donovan, bro. Even though a lot of people might think vice versa, bro. But Chichadios all the way, bro.
First episode is good. Chichadios.
Man, I swear, bro, that fool could give you like some good laughs. If you, I mean, I'm a Liverpool supporter all the way. Liverpool, you'll never walk alone, baby. And, you know, he was a pain in the derriere, bro. Chicharito. I mean, he scored on Chelsea, you know, on Tottenham.
He scored on everyone.
Yeah, you know, he was there. But,
he scored on everyone.
But Guti, interesting, bro.
Yeah.
That's very crazy.
My favorite player of all time.
Is that the reason why you're a gay Real Madrid fan?
No
offense to people who are actually gay, you know. Being Real Madrid fan is a lot, like, you know, more, it's disgraceful. I'm sorry, you know, I should have never
What do you call us, Madrid fans? Madrid locas?
Madrid locas, bro, because you guys get crazy. You guys get wild, bro.
He's going hate.
Oh, man, yeah, but is that the reason, because of Guti, or?
I think the reason why I fell in love with Madrid... And a lot of people tell me, how come you didn't become a Barca fan when you saw Marcus play?
Yeah.
In their whatnot. Yeah, and I loved, I give respect where it's earned or where it's deserved.
Where it's due, you know, respect.
You know, and yeah. That squad is, it deserves and all that respect, you know. But I remember the first European game I saw was the Galacticos, bro.
I'm going to cut you off right there, bro. I'm a big-time Barcelona fan, you know, and when they bring up the Galacticos, I could just think of one name, bro. That's it. And it's
Zidane.
It's not Beckham. It's not Ronaldo. It's not Zidane, bro.
Cannavaro.
It's none of that, bro. None of that, bro. It's Ronaldinho, bro.
Oh, my God. When he murdered them at the Bernabeu?
We're talking about this guy did what he went. He made his... Baby Ramos. It was Baby Ramos. He was stepping up, you know.
I think it was the first year after Madrid bought him from Sevilla, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this guy made it. The only player that I've seen. I mean, Madrid fans, they take their team to the heart, you know. It's like you're with us or you're against us completely. And yet for this player to do the, like, get a standing ovation at the Bernabeu, bro. After he humiliated their Galacticos.
He murdered the whole right wing, bro.
Killing it, bro. Killing it.
Whole right side.
You know, and it's... So me the when they talk about, again? I think it was 2-0 or 2-1, and Ronaldinho scored a 2. No, it was 3 because he had 2 goals and assisted 1. And at the Bernabeu, he just, you know, just killing them, bro.
And Madrid started winning that game, actually. I think it was 1-0.
We would have to check the highlights. Yeah, I want to see those. But I mean, it's awesome. Galacticos are the Galacticos, bro, you know. And nobody's going to take nothing away from them. No. But when. Me, personally, when you talk about the Galacticos, I could just think of Ronaldinho, bro.
It's crazy because the Galacticos actually... I don't remember the last time a defender won the Ballon d'Or.
Cannavaro won it, right? Yeah. Didn't some Italian won a defender too? No. I'm thinking of Maldini, no? Maldini never?
Maldini?
Never?
I don't know. I don't remember Maldini winning it.
I like this, you know... Well, I think we should be wrapping it up, but I would like to, because, you know, there's so much, there's football, bro. You could have so many debates and so many topics, but now that we're talking about, you brought the Ballon d'Or, bro. Mm-hmm. If a goalkeeper could win it or should have won it, which goalkeeper, bro? And let's bring up from the past, bro. Let's talk about, you know, back to, well, as far as back of the 70s, you know, 80s, 90s, like... Out of all them, if a goalkeeper truly deserves it, which goalkeeper do you think? Because you never see a goalkeeper fighting for a Ballon d'Or.
Of all time?
Let's go back to, like, the 70s, 80s, bro. Like someone that could have deserved the Ballon d'Or, bro.
I think Kahn.
The German? He had heart, bro. He had heart, dedication. But I would say El Gato Ortiz, bro. Give my man a break, bro. Bro.
Jaguars. Might as well give it to Navarrete, bro. Bro, don't mess with my chapa.
Fighting with no, I'm kidding. The con is good, bro. But I would have to go. I mean, because I can't really speak much about, like, old school and stuff like that because I would... The videos that I know of, it's Google them, YouTube, you don't know that. My era is when I started watching 2002, like, I would give it, like, one person deserves it, bro. It's between Iker and Guangeli, bro. I remember I fell in love with the position goalkeeper because of Guangeli Buffon, bro.
Gianluigi.
I say whatever. Potato, potato. Yeah, bro, you know. Well, you know, don't ever do that again. Don't correct me. Please. Yeah. No, but yeah, him, bro. Him or Iker, bro, man. Iker. Or Juan Manuel Pinto, bro, from Barcelona, the guy with the braids. He's a DJ now.
Damn, where the greats have fallen.
Yeah, I know, bro. God, that guy, man. That guy.
He gave you guys some headaches, huh?
Bro, this guy with his feet was the worst, man. God, like... I remember watching the games, and I would watch it in, like, a Barca channel, you know, like a Barca link or anything, and the supporters were obviously Barca. Every time they would play a ball back to Pinto, bro, he would be, cuidado con Pinto, cuidado con Pinto, like, all panicking and nervous, bro, like, this is going to fuck up and keep on going. Cuidado con Pinto, se la toca a Pinto, cuidado con Pinto. I'm like, god damn, yeah, he sucked, bro.
Nobody had faith in him,
he
bro.
He sucked, bro. Yeah, I mean, someone did. They bought him to be the second goalie for Valdez, so someone obviously had...
I think Kahn. Just because during his era, football was... How can you say it? More rough?
More aggressive, yeah. More tech... Yeah, more roughness. Aggressiveness. It was back in the day European style, bro. European style.
Mm-hmm. He was still a goalkeeper in 2002. In Korea and Japan.
Doesn't his son play for... No, that's Schmeichel. Never mind. I'm thinking about
Schmeichel. He's the keeper for Leicester.
Yeah, but his dad is a legend. So, but yeah, Kahn.
Legend of Man U.
So, okay, now that you brought up Kahn, do you think Manuel Neuer lived up to Kahn, bro? Those are some big... Has he? I mean, he's a world champion. He has, I mean, he's a great bro. Would you say that he lived up to the great Khan?
I don't think Neuer would have been as good as he is today in his era, though.
Completely two different types of style of playing, bro. Back in the day, more aggressive, more rough. Now it's more technical, you know, like, I mean, sweeper keeper, bro. You're blessed if you have a sweeper keeper, bro. You're in your squad, you're blessed.
He is the best, I think, of this generation. It's hard for me to say whether Casillas or him are the greatest keepers. Or even Gianluigi Buffon.
I would go with Buffon all day, any day, bro.
But I don't know. That one's hard, bro. That's the hard one.
Okay, now you're being a Red Devil fan, bro. Let's throw in another name right there. Exactly, bro.
Legend, bro. Legend.
And that guy, literally, Ronaldo should have, like, kissed his feet or his hands, bro. Because you remember the 2008 final Champions League Chelsea? You
know, when they were champions?
When the Manchester... But Ronaldo steps up, misses the penalty, bro.
And then he saves it.
And then Van der Sar saves the penalty that gives him the championship.
Yep.
You know.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Definitely, definitely.
And I don't know, bro. The goalkeeper one is tough because they're so... I think the goalkeeper position is one of those positions where you could say that there's been so many greats.
Okay. Bro, here's something that's always on my end.
And we got Jorge Campos.
Oh, Jorge
Campos. Adolfo Rios, bro.
Hey, don't talk smack on that guy, bro. Mano cambiada.
I'll tell you what. Mexico has always... Mexico's best position to create... Keepers,
bro. Keepers. Hell yeah. You know, Sanchez. Let's talk about that, bro. Let's talk for a little bit, you know. Let's talk about Mexican soccer, bro. And let's take the goalkeepers. There's always one name that I felt so bad that he could have at least gone to Europe or something, bro. Started off at a great institution. And he still played in a good constitution, but it was for him to grow more. Jonathan Orozco, man. That guy.
The one who never left, right?
Yeah. Well, he started with, I think, with Santos, bro. And now he's with Monterrey, but he had, like, a few end go over there, like, in between teams. But this guy, bro, like, he got his break barely right now, you know. I think with Juan Cambios Osorio, like, getting him some playing time in the selección. But this guy, for me, could have been up there with, like, Ochoa, you know, going to Europe or something. But I don't know why it didn't happen. No dedication, no discipline. Yeah, but you're right. Mexico does not suffer from
keepers. That's the one position they'll have too many of.
Yep, true. Yeah.
And all good.
Yeah.
All good. If you notice in the Mexican League, most teams have a good keeper.
Yeah. True.
There'll be like one, two, three teams that don't. But the rest, they have very good keepers.
And youngsters too, bro. Youngsters.
Yep.
You know, I felt sad for that Hurtado goalkeeper, bro. Like, one that came from Veracruz and went to Cruz Azul. And they gave him his start. Like, they didn't play him all season long, bro. And then Cruz Azul faces Pumas in the semifinals. Cruz Azul with, like, the 4-0 lead. No, 3-0 lead.
You want me to show you how easy Mexico is great with keepers? You remember that America Cruz Azul final?
Yeah. Oh, Munoz, bro. But he was blessed, bro. He looked for that header, but that header was going out, bro. And we could debate. I mean, he looked for it. Last minute, tie goal. Can't get more beautiful than that. Looks for it. Palomita, bro. Mm-hmm. You know. Connects. My point, like, you know, the ball was going out. He got lucky that, you know, Cruz Azul is Cruz Azul, bro, in their luck. Deflects. Se la cambia Chuy. Goal, bro. But yeah, you're right. He looks for it. He goes and looks for that.
I think that was another moment where my eyes teared up, bro.
I remember that.
Because all hopes were lost.
I have, like, a nice story about that, but it's, you know, it's later
on. What made me mad about that final is the fact that the fans had left. And then...
Did they?
They had left.
I was one of those that I freaking couldn't watch. They had left.
And my dad, he called it. He was like, en esta calle, en esta calle, en esta calle.
Brujo.
And Boom. Munoz headers
it. Did he do like some special dance before?
The funniest thing, bro, we had a Cruz Azul fan in the house watching the game with us. And we looked at him and he and the kid just went like,
shit. I mean, bro, that final was amazing. Chucho Benitez played his heart out, bro. May he rest in peace,
R.I.P.
bro.
R.I.P. legend.
He played his freaking heart out, bro. I remember what minute, like minute 11, minute 9. Se expulsan a Diego Reyes for an that wasn't a red card, bro. He's expulsa, play half of the game. Like, more, America, like the whole game with 10 players.
America
Chucho went and even an extra time, bro.
America couldn't have had a worse start than that.
We were down one goal. We were down one goal. We get the expulsion. Then we're down, like, because Cruz Azul scores. We're down two goals. One less man. A lot of football to be played. And
that's when the hunt started.
God, man. That was beautiful. Like I said, Cruz Azul will be always Cruz Azul, man. That sucks for
the way they lost the semi last year, that was... I feel like, I don't know. That at that point, you're just like, I don't... This team does not have remedy, bro. The way they lost after being up 4-0 against Pumas, they come back. They make the... They end up 4-4 in the aggregate.
Bro, that's
Pumas,
what...
Pumas wins because of table position.
That's what I want to get into it, bro. That, like... The Hurtado, we're talking about young goalkeepers and everything. I feel like they did him dirty, bro. This guy is like 23, I think, 24. Youngster, bro, from Veracruz. That did... Before Veracruz disassembled, this fool was like just beasting it. Like, playing bad freaking goalkeepers in the post and everything. So, the team decides to, you know, yeah, lo sacan a la shit because they suck. So all their players are free agents. Here comes Cruz Azul trying to replace Chuy. You know, Chuy's on his way out. They get this youngster. Everybody, the prospect, bro. Like, damn, this fool's going to be good. He's going to a good academy, good institution. He's going to get some playing time with La Selección. And then just happens that they didn't play him all season long, bro. They didn't play him once. All right. They get to the final. They get to semis. They win the first game. Comfortably 4-0, bro. Like, yeah, we're going to go to the Universitario. We have to score one goal. They decide to rest Chuy Corona, bro, and give him play time. I mean, yeah, you're going in a game 4-0, but imagine you're like, damn, my season debut, bro. Like, it's a semifinal. You know, you must be, like, freaking nervous, as even though if you're a professional. He said, come cuatro. You know, they put him in his first chance.
And he looked bad in that game, right?
He played horrible in that game, bro. Horrible.
Like, most goals, they're goals that you say a keeper can get.
Yeah, he ate two out of the four goals, bro. Like, because he literally, like, ate them. And the other two, he was not well positioned. You know? And you know, you being a keeper, position is key, bro. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, they did. And you haven't heard from him since, you know, like, this season, nothing or anything. Like, they blamed it on him. They blamed it on the coach. Like, oh, why are you starting him? I think they did him dirty. The coach did him dirty, bro. But like, oh, you know what? Just put you in there. And it sucked that La Cruz Azul.
Yeah.
But no lie, bro, I'm having a lot of fun, man.
This is hella fun, bro. This is hella
just,
fun,
just
you know?
Just talking, and I can't wait until we actually got, you know,
topics,
give my viewers. Yeah, topics. Definitely, we have to do topics, you know.
Yeah, but let's just, we'll end this by letting the audience know a bit of what they would hear, and I think that's a very perfect preview as to we may have discussions on a single squad.
And you know what I would like also to bring, you know, guests, bro. You know, like, people that we played, people that we know, because we do know a lot of...
I emailed Sisu. And haven't heard back.
I was actually trying to get much more in the Elito Pep Guardiola, bro. Imagine Pep and your dad talking tactics, bro. God damn.
I'd be like, so how you getting Messi in there? But
yeah. No, I mean, we know a bunch of great soccer players, bro. Yeah. Well, at least I know. I don't know about you.
I am the greatest.
You know, and just, man, one person that I definitely, and I'm going to throw his name out there, bro, Jose Valdez, congratulations, just became a dad, bro, you know. But this guy, I swear, those who can't play coach because he coached himself a sick ass squad, bro.
We had a squad.
Alianza Deportiva, bro. Back to back championships, bro.
I think that was my best time as a goalkeeper, bro. I did some saves myself that I was like, how'd I get those?
I would like to talk football with him. And he's a Manchester United fan, bro. You know, but I hope that our viewers and, you know, get feedback or something, you know, what they would like to listen.
I'm excited to launch this because no one knows about it.
I know. Well, I told my family members and, you know, friends. I'm like, listen to it. Give me feedback, everything, you know. Yeah. Because no lie, bro, this project, you told me. You messaged me. You're like, hey, you know, I want to start this. But I'm going to tell you, our friendship is our friendship, but I take this seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, and thank you. Thank you for that trust, brother. Thank you. I hope I won't let you down. And, you know, because I love soccer, bro. I love football.
Yeah.
And I love you. And you know, so it's gonna be a project that I wanna focus, you know, like I have so many ideas and I bet you do too, and you know, so we could share and, you know, game days, cup matches, you know, all that, bro. Like, you know, finals. I mean, we got Champions League coming back this month, bro.
Finally.
Around the 16s, you know, we have Barcelona's only cup. They're going to win La Copa del Rey, bro. Getting intense. La Liga, bro. Barcelona, back to second. We have the Premier League getting super intense, bro. You know, Manchester City one game behind. Serie A, bro. Finally, after like 7 years of domination of Juventus, finally you see AC Milan, Inter Milan, and you see like Juve like way down there.
It's back like it was in the 2000s.
Yeah, bro. Like I'm saying, there's a lot of football, a lot of content that we could make, you know.
I think this Champions League has been one of the best Champions Leagues I've seen. Because how...
With no fans?
No, I'm saying in terms of the competition. Like,
oh, yeah.
The way the groups were built, you're like, holy snap, like, any one of these teams in each group can make it.
Yeah.
Man, you didn't qualify to 16.
Manchester, let's not even get there, bro. Don't even bring, man, you shouldn't be mentioned with European football only, like,
bro,
not even...
They broke my heart after winning the first three games, but then, like...
PSG eliminated them, right?
Yeah, and then Red Bull was in there, and then the other team, I don't know where they were from. But it's PSG and Red Bull. They're the ones that are going.
There's so much, bro. Players, you know, coaches. You have leagues, teams, tie everything.
Point,
bro,
is, you'll hear everything.
Yeah,
this podcast, even
great discussions, bro.
History of players, even and whatnot. So
I have episodes, have specials, bro. I was. look at the legs. Look at the. Yeah, and hopefully next time that you have, like, our next podcast, you have better chairs, bro.
Better, yeah, man. Damn.
But yeah, you know, this was a lot of fun recording. I was nervous coming in, not gonna lie. I was nervous. I'm all like, the whole day at work, I was thinking of it. Like, I'm like, all right, you know, never like my voice behind a mic, you know, or something, something like that. But
it's the football, first one, bro, is always the hardest, bro.
It's football, but it's fun. It was a lot of fun, bro.
Hella fun, bro.
It was a lot of fun talking about that. And I learned something new from you, Guti, bro. I'm gonna keep that, you know, Guti.
Guti, bro. Honestly, bro, you could watch his videos and never get bored.
That's what I'm gonna do. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna watch good TV. I swear, the only video that I have that came to my mind was that rear taquito, bro. That little back
that's
heel.
That's one of my top three goals of all time, bro. For me, on my list.
Nice. But yeah, bro. You know, try to keep it as short as possible. You know, because also we don't wanna bored our...
That's perfect. An hour 18.
Yeah, we don't want to bore our listeners. And, you know, yeah. I mean, to a true football fan, bro, hearing a debate is, you know... Catch us on Football Picante, bro.
What's that who's name? Cristian Marin, or what's his name? Or
which one? El que,
from Fox Deportes?
El
Marin, I think that's the last name.
I think from Fox Deportes, the only one that I know is el que se... Se la caga el Chicharito, you know, de que pensemos de cosas chingonas, you know.
Oh, Chicharito. Yeah.
That's the only guy that I know. I love that fool, bro. But, if I was a reporter, I would want to be like him.
But we'll end it there, everyone. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And
hope you guys enjoy it.
And that was the first episode of Beyond the 18. And we can only go up from here.
Let's go. Let's do this.
All right, everyone. Till next time.